And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan in Jacksonville. Excuse me. Yes, I'm in Jacksonville, but you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3. Oh, it's nice to be up to full power. Yeah, I can get used to that action. I came across an article from the website Knowledge of Health by Bill Sardi. And, I mean, this information is just too good, but like any other information, I'm trying to simplify it where you can kind of grasp what I'm saying. So a lot of this I'm going to try to really tone down. But it's so intriguing to me and so interesting. You know, sometimes we're the product of our own inventions and our own ideas, and sometimes we're just flat out wrong. I think about a week ago, I heard the latest report where they've looked at all the studies and they just think that using chemotherapy to treat breast cancer is a complete total waste of time and resources and money. Now, what's going to be difficult is getting people that are used to this dogma that you must zap every woman with toxic drugs when they have cancer of the breast. That's going to be tough to let go of, because you got to remember, cancer, it is the biggest legal, highest profit business on earth. It just is. Now, as I say that, yes, you can say I'm completely biased, and I am. I am the most biased person you're probably going to meet or talk to today, because I'm totally in toward any remedy that is natural and God-derived and God-made that doesn't destroy the human being's heart and mind and soul in the process of being treated. So, let me read some of Bill Sardi's information to you. He says, we live in an era of cancer immunotherapy. And of course, you may not know what that is, but that's not the same as using chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is using toxic chemicals with the hope or the promise that they'll kill cancer cells and leave your healthy cells alone. Or they may choose to use radiation therapy, which zaps them with a form of energy to kind of fry the cancer cells. Of course, it damages all the healthy tissue at the same time, but immunotherapy, you know what that really is? It's helping your own natural, God-given immune system just do its job. Just do its job. Which means if your macrophage or your white blood cell sees the cancer cells, it corners it, eats it, beats it to death, stomps on it, and maybe even spits on it a little bit. Okay, I went overboard there. All right. There was a time that oncologists, which these are physicians that treat cancer for a living, they once vehemently denied that cancer could ever be overcome by the human immune system. Do you grasp what I'm saying there? They don't even believe it's possible for your immune system to, you know, even do anything when it comes to cancer. That is just ridiculous. There was a report in the British Medical Journal dated May the 24th, 1969. And here's the quote. Immunotherapy in patients with advanced disease is doomed to disappointment. That means if you think that helping the immune system fight cancer is going to be of benefit, well, you're barking up the wrong tree. Well, over 50 years ago, there was a doctor by the name of Chester Southam. And what he did was, and this was all done without patient's consent, which means he was slammed for being highly unethical. And since I can't interview him, I don't know exactly what he had in mind, but I can sure guess. I have a pretty vivid imagination. But what he did was, he injected millions of cancer cells into elderly patients without their consent, just to prove one thing. That the human immune system is actually capable of resisting cancer when intentionally induced. So Dr. Southam injected millions of cancer cells in elderly people. I'm telling you, folks, who is the one that's going to catch pneumonia and die? Is it a 30-year-old woman that's healthy, or a 95-year-old woman that maybe is at the end of her lifespan? Well, you know the answer to that. Anyway, let me kind of cut to the chase and, well, anyway, they go on to say that even though Oncologists, they love chemotherapy. They love it, love it, love it. They don't even consider that immunotherapy is the most promising weapon in the fight against cancer. That means, what can we do to aid your immune system at helping to fight the cancer? Well, you have very specific types of white blood cells. There's one type called a neutrophil. You have basophils, eosinophils, lymphocytes, leukocytes, monocytes. But there's one that's called a macrophage. And a macrophage is a type of white blood cell that will literally seek out and engulf cancer cells. And that's considered to be about one of the major, most major primary players in controlling tumor-generated inflammation. And it goes on to say right here that uncontrolled inflammation leads to the development of new blood vessels. Okay, you got that? That's called angiogenesis. And that sets up a tumor for one thing. The more blood vessels that you have to go to a tumor, the more it feeds tumor growth. In turn, that leads to the release of malignant tumor cells into the blood circulation that facilitates the spread of cancer. That's called metastasis, which is considered the mortal form of the disease. And when I say mortal, it means people that have a cancer that travels from its original location, let's just say the bone, for example, if it travels to the brain, lung, liver, and kidneys, that doesn't really have a good outcome. Anyway, I'm going to kind of cut to the chase right here. You know what I want to tell you? There's all this information about all these drug companies. They're all trying to either genetically modify a substance or come up with an enzyme-inhibiting substance, or come up with a drug that makes them huge, huge profits, all to do one thing. There is an enzyme. Let me see if I can say this right here. I'm really trying hard not to overwhelm you with too many details, even though this is right up my alley. I just love this stuff. Okay, The end game here is they're trying to stimulate macrophage activation. That is the white blood cell that eats cancer for you. And so what they want to do is they want all these biotech companies to come up with something that can cure this. Okay? Let me see if I can get to the heart of the matter right here. All right. Okay, here we go right here. Let me see if I found it. All right. It's called macrophage activating factor. This may be the very first time you've heard about this, but remember, a macrophage is a type of a white blood cell that if it's given half a chance, it will surround a tumor, it will eat the cancer cells, and they will be no more. This is already proven to be true. And so anything that stimulates this macrophage activating factor is something that defeats cancer. And so there's a company in Japan that they are making this, and guess what it's made from? It's made from colostrum. From milk. Anyway, I think that's kind of funny. Okay. One point that I want to make. There is an enzyme called NAGLase. NAGALASE. And researchers, they are convinced that this is completely the key to curing cancer. And so they want to use gene silencing methods. They want to find to reduce the expression of NAGALASE and consequently reduce cancer cell invasion capability can be achieved. And so they're looking for some type of natural enzyme inhibitor of NAGALASE. Because if they can inhibit NAGALASE, then you can get macrophage activating factor to go up and be free of cancer. Well, this is what I find interesting, and this is probably where we get to the heart of the matter. It's been very well established that polyphenols, which are derived from things like turmeric. Anybody out there ever heard of curcumin? If you get French's yellow mustard, you'll find out real quick that yellow pigment comes from curcumin or turmeric. Well, guess what it does? It helps inhibit NAGylase, the enzyme that promotes cancer. Anything that inhibits the enzyme called NAGylase, it puts you in a much better light for defeating cancer. So, in nature, it's found from turmeric. Okay, but you're pretty smart. You can figure out how to get that into your body, right? Well, there's also a radical design in nature called a grape. How many times does the Bible talk about vineyards and wine? Well, there is a polyphenol found in the skin of grapes called resveratrol. And guess what it does? It inhibits the enzyme called NAGylase. That's what you want. Also, pomegranates. You ever heard of a pomegranate? It's been a while, but when I've read in the Old Testament of the Bible, what was the, I started to call it the uniform. Please forgive me for saying that. That's not technically correct. The robe of the high priest that would enter the Holy of Holies. What did they have embroidered or stitched into, you know, the garment? Well, it's pomegranates. Doesn't mean I know why that was the case, but evidently that was God's request. They've shown that apple peel contains a substance called quercetin. Quercetin inhibits NAGylase. You got to have low levels of NAGylase if you're going to be healthy and strong. Of course, no one's ever heard the phrase that an apple a day keeps the doctor away, have they? Okay. If you drink tea, there is a polyphenol called a catechin. It's a natural enzyme inhibitor. Anyway, here's some other stuff right here. There's oligosaccharides that are found from mushrooms. You ever like to eat mushrooms? And what they do is they all suppress inflammation and they activate these macrophages that go after cancer. There's an algae called spirulina. Sometimes it's called blue-green algae. They have considerable attention paid to them because they help inhibit these enzymes that cause cancer. There's herbal extracts. You ever heard of Panax ginseng? Yeah, it has some of these also. You ever heard of a substance called Boswellia? Guess where that comes from? Frankincense. Let me think. What was one of the gifts that was brought to baby Jesus or to Mary and Joseph by the wise men? Frankincense. Let me see. What else did I read right here? Oh, this is interesting to me. I have probably butchered this topic this morning, so please forgive me, but my heart's in the right place. There is a substance in nature that has been talked about for a long time. It's called chondroitin sulfate. If you hear the term chondroitin sulfate, you're probably thinking, well, Dr. Morgan, didn't you talk about that last week for people that have, you know, chronic lower back pain or joint pain and arthritis? Yeah, I sure did. Well, researchers also report that a decoy molecule that interferes with a NAGylase, remember, NAGylase is what prevents your macrophages, your white blood cells, from going after tumor markers or going after tumors or cancer. And so they're saying now that what would happen if we actually gave human beings chondroitin sulfate? I'm telling you, this is very interesting. Chondroitin sulfate is internally produced within the matrix of your cartilage in the human body and is a constituent of connective tissue. It says there are macrophages that increase inflammation. However, internally made chondroitin sulfate, it sustains anti-inflammatory macrophages. Oh, interesting. Well, if you don't know how much chondroitin sulfate your cartilage makes, maybe you should consider taking some. It says the provision of chondroitin sulfate to laboratory mice is reported to reduce inflammation and subsequently reduce atherosclerotic arterial plaque, and it has an application in cancer-induced inflammation. Interesting. Okay. The combination of supplemental chondroitin sulfate and glucosamine sulfate, it is reported to reduce a marker of inflammation, which is called C-reactive protein, by 23%. In healthy humans, and therefore reduce the risk of cancer. Folks, I can't make this stuff up. Here's the other one I'm going to get to right here. You knew I was going to talk about this anyway. And the next article is based, it's called Altering Tumor pH to Effect a Cure. And there is a colon for for sodium bicarbonate, which is another fancy word for or term for baking soda. Yet another intriguing new avenue of investigation is alteration of pH. That's your acid or your alkaline balance. If the pH of an area surrounding tumors could be locally increased toward alkalinity, the nagylase enzyme would cease to function and macrophages could do their job of digesting malignant cells. Oh my goodness, did you get that? Okay, this topic has recently gained widespread public attention in the news media, that alteration of pH by the use of oral sodium bicarbonate, baking soda, it may serve to abolish the acidic environment surrounding tumor cells. That provokes dormant cancer cells out of hiding and makes them vulnerable to treatment. I haven't read this one before either. Baking soda also increases the activity of your T cells. That comes from your thymus gland. That is another type of white blood cell that defeats cancer. It goes on to say that tumor cells voraciously derive energy from sugar rather than from oxygen, as normal healthy cells do. As sugar devours, these malignant cells expel lactic acid, which creates an acidic barrier around the tumors, you know, protecting them from your own body. When chemotherapy was combined with a an infusion of sodium bicarbonate or baking soda, I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to read it to you. Tumor cell eradication increased from 63% to, let me think, what is the term 100%? It's 100% when they use baking soda. Researchers surmise that alteration of the tumor environment towards alkalinity might increase natural tumor cell die-off, that's called apoptosis, by tumor pH alone. It is well established that tumor cells hijack macrophages by expelling lactic acid. That's acid. What does baking soda do? Well, that's alkaline. The problem is that baking soda was injected into the tumor areas in the animal experiments, which rules out home use, because most people aren't going to take baking soda injected directly in their tumors, or are they? It says, will oncologists, which are cancer doctors, begin to utilize this simple pre-cure? Oh. It'll be known as the 10-cent cancer cure. Ha, ha, ha. See, that's true. It takes about 10 cents worth of baking soda to kill cancer cells, but will they use it? No. Well, I mean, I don't know. Let me back up. Let me roll this backwards. It just depends. You tell me. Is a doctor going to use a cure that costs 10 cents, or is he going to use one that costs, you know, 500 million and 10 cents? Okay, given that oncologists have treatments but no cures for cancer, patients are left to try natural remedies in an unguided fashion, or they listen to programs like this and they make their choices. Fortunately, these remedies mentioned above are relatively safe, which I haven't heard of somebody taking a half a teaspoon of baking soda and stirring it in water and drinking it, going to the ER. Anyway, that's just information for you. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you call, I'll go ahead and get you in and try to do whatever I can to help you and bless you. And so here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I have a question. What do I do about sensitive teeth?
Well, do you have gum disease or sinus infections or infections? Because that's what I think of.
Well, I have recently had some dental work, and after that, it's been much more sensitive.
Okay.
And just need something to help me.
Well, forgive me, I'm flipping through a magazine article right here. Okay. Let me give you two or three ideas. When your teeth are very sensitive, I just have to assume that there's like excessive inflammation. The number one thing that generates inflammation is going to be some type of infection. So let me give you an idea. There's a very old technique called oil pulling. It's where one takes either olive oil, coconut oil, or probably the best one, sesame seed oil, and they take a tablespoon or two and just hold it in their mouth and just gently swish it around for anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes. Just hold it in their mouth. And what that does is the worst toxic molecules that your teeth will ever face are not water-soluble toxins. They are fat-soluble toxins. And so this pure fat, sesame seed oil or coconut oil, it binds up those fat-soluble toxins and just grabs them like a magnet, holds on to them. And that way, when you swish it around your mouth, you're pulling the poison out of your mouth. And so at the end of 10 minutes or 20, you would spit the oil out. Then you would take a little bit of baking soda and just gently brush your teeth with it and then rinse your mouth. Simple as that.
Okay.
The next thing that I would do if it were me, there is a dental tooth powder they sell at the health food store. And I want to say it's called Dental Medic. Like you are in the Army and you have been hit by a piece of shrapnel in your leg, you go to the medic so they can remove it. But Dental Medic, or maybe it's called Mouth Medic, but it contains clove oil. All you can do is try it and see if it radically improves the health of your teeth. The other thing that I would recommend, there is a product, and they actually sell this at Walmart, but I think they have it at health food stores also. It's called, it's a mouth rinse by the, I think the brand is called Natural Dentist, but it has a fair amount of olive oil, aloe vera. I meant to say aloe vera. It has aloe vera, but that's a mouth rinse that you can easily try to see if it greatly benefits and reduces the sensitivity. The other product I just looked up. Okay, forgive me. All I can do is tell you the name is the brand name is Aura Wellness. That's spelled O-R-A and then the word wellness. But they have a product called Shine. It's a remineralizing tooth powder. And that's what you're wanting, is you're wanting, it contains a substance called microcrystalline hydroxyapatite. Comes from grass-fed cattle from New Zealand, if that's, something you want to hear. But that helps remineralize the teeth, and what you're doing is, do you remember the story of Nehemiah when he was really distressed in the Old Testament because the wall surrounding Jerusalem was broken down and in disrepair and there were holes in it? Well, think of your teeth like the wall around the city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to remineralize them to strengthen them. And so this is one product that will help remineralize your teeth. It's called Shine.
Shine.
Mm-hmm.
S-H-I-N-E?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the glory of the Lord shines forth like the breaking dawn.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that God's glory shines a little bit stronger than the morning sunshine. Don't you agree?
There you go.
And so these are things that you can do very, very easily to try to improve. Now, there's two other things that I would think of. There's two fat-soluble vitamins that I'm a really big fan of. One of them is called Coenzyme Q10, or if you want to call it ubiquinol, that's fine also. But studies show that when you start consuming Coenzyme Q10, it greatly increases the blood flow to your gums and your teeth. I promise you, that is what you want. You want increased blood flow to your teeth. And so Coenzyme Q10 plays a role with that. And the other fat-soluble vitamin is called vitamin K2. Sometimes it's referred to minoquinone 4 or minoquinone 7. Those are the easiest forms to get and supplementally. But that helps remineralize your teeth.
Vitamin K2,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a street drug called K2. That's not what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm referring to vitamin K2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the last thing I'll tell you, unless you want to know more information, there is a school of dentistry in Waco at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And they have tested teeth of all incoming students. And would you believe me if I told you students that walked every day, like a form of exercise, they had the strongest and the best teeth?
Oh,
See how I tried to trick you into getting some walking shoes today and walking in this heat?
Yeah. I've been told, you know, exercise would be good for me.
Yeah. Well, at least you can consider all these things and decide what you want to do.
Right.
But this is my diabolical plot to help you.
Certainly appreciate this information.
I bet you anything, if you do these things in 3 days, you'll see a difference for the better.
All right.
You're going to get a money back guarantee.
All right.
I think today I've blown about $35 of your money if you buy all these products. So you have my word today. John Paul and Randy will reimburse you financially if my suggestions do not work. Just talk to Randy Featherston. He'll make it right, okay?
Well, there you go. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Thank you. I hope you have a good day, man.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what I did yesterday? I thought this Sunday was Father's Day, but it's not. It's next Sunday. See how I got all twisted? I started to say Happy Father's Day to him. If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. And good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm not sure if this is the right kind of question, but I thought maybe you could help me. I live alone, so I don't have anybody to ask. I've been taking high blood pressure medicine for three different kinds for quite a few years. And here lately, all of a sudden, it's dropping the bottom out. Like when I get up in the morning, it's so low that I just can't hardly get around.
Well, what do you think that means?
Well, I don't really have any idea.
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you right now what I think it means. I think you're being overdosed on blood pressure medication.
Okay.
It's exerting too strong of an influence.
Okay.
Well, tell me what the numbers are in the morning.
Well, this morning it was like, let me see, 102 over 54.
You know where I would be right now if mine was 102 over 54?
What?
I'd be laying in bed right now going, there's no way I can get up.
Well, I've made it to my chair, and that's about all I've got done.
I don't even know if I could make it to the chair.
Well,
wait a second. If I had a really bad projectile diarrhea, I might could make it. Never mind. I'm sorry.
I've been having. I have to go to my shopping myself, and I'll start out to the Walmart store. And when I get in there, in a short time, I'm breaking out in a sweat. I just can't hardly. And I'm white, and it's. I got real sort of nervous about driving home yesterday.
Well, I would be too. I would be a nervous wreck if my blood pressure were that low. I mean, this is causing great stress on your body.
Well, let me tell you what. See, that the reason I don't know what to do because I had that called it that malignant hypertension because it goes up way dangerously high really quick, which it did a few months back.
Well, but the main thing that's going to do that is just excessive release of adrenaline or stress. I mean, we all get stressed, but it's not going to last forever. But they're probably I may be practicing medicine without a license. I'm really not. But the numbers you're giving me, 102 over 54, there's nobody listening that would feel like getting up and doing anything if they had that pressure. They would say, "Oh my word, I am plumb exhausted, and I just slept all night long."
Oh, I know.
You can't do that forever. And I know what you want. You just want to feel normal, don't you?
Well, yes.
But your pressure is going to have to go up at least 20 points on both those numbers for you to even have a chance. I mean, there is such a thing as too low a pressure, and that's what you got.
Well, I'm just going to base it on like yesterday because I try to keep track of it because when I'm feeling really bad, well, when I got up. The middle number was 80, but the top one was low when I first got up this morning. But anyway, it goes up when I don't take my pills because I did that. I didn't take them for a while during the day because I always have a set time. And so then it starts going up, I mean, beginning to get too high.
Do
when
you
it
take...
gets too high, they
yeah.
can't get it down. They have trouble getting it down. So
okay.
It's really just don't know. Because being by myself, I have to get my stuff, and I didn't my shopping done yesterday.
No, I'm very sympathetic to your cause. I mean, you've got to be a strong woman to be all by yourself and do everything that needs to be done. That's just tough.
Yeah, the older you get, it gets harder, I tell you. It surely does. And
well, what do you mean older? You sound like you're about 38.
Oh, yeah, I wish I was.
How close am I? Are you like 39?
Okay. Yeah, that's sweet. I wish you would. Well, and I knew what I know now. I could go back and maybe get it right this next time around.
Well, all we have is today, and I tell you what.
I know.
We're gonna do what the lady said before I came on. We're gonna learn to rest in God and not try to control everything, because it just about never works when we try to control anything. It doesn't for me.
Oh, I don't control a single thing, and without him every day, nothing would ever get accomplished.
I am not trying to do the job of your medical doctor, but can I please give you some ideas?
Yes, please.
Okay. And you can take everything I'm saying and just kind of take it with a grain of salt, and you can mix and match or do what you want to do or what you don't want to do. And I'm just going to make this simple, but you stop me and ask me whatever questions you want, because you're a single woman. You need people to love you and to help you and take care of you.
I know. I wish I did. Everybody seems to be gone.
Well, I mean, I'll do what I can to help, and so I want you just to consider these things, but... Here's what you're going to have to consider. This body that you've been given and you've been entrusted with, it's the only one you're ever going to get. You're in charge of it. Doesn't it say in, what is it, the book of Corinthians, that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
I like the sound of that, so it kind of gives you reason to take good care of yourself.
Well, I thought I was trying, but I know I probably don't eat exactly right, because my stove doesn't really work, and so I use a microwavable food mostly.
Well, what do we need? Do we need to come to your house and fix your stove?
Oh, no.
What is it? Do you have, like, one of the elements that are broken?
No, it's sort of a craziness, and I know you don't have time to hear it. I have a little RV I live in, and it's a gas kind of stove, and for some reason, when I bought this place to live, that stove is, I've just got a feeling about it. I don't like gas. My dad got burnt bad in the gas thing. And so I just have this thing about gas. I knew I'd never use it, but I don't know why. I've used these kind of stoves my whole life, living in the country and have propane, but I can't just use this stove.
Okay. I got you. What about if we just get you like a little bitty hot plate that has two round elements on it, and you can cook two things at the same time? They're like $20 at the store.
Oh yeah, I could do that.
It'll just be like, instead of a big stove, it'll be like a little burner that's electric that you can put on top of your stove. Anyway, you could do something simple like that. Maybe that would work out real efficiently, and you could take charge of this and do well. And I'm not going to go in any particular order, but one of the reasons that blood pressure just totally spikes out of control is because of excessive inflammation in the body. And so there is a substance called baking soda. If you took just a half of a teaspoon of plain Jane baking soda and stirred it in a little bit of water and you started your day with that, that over time is going to help get rid of a lot of the inflammation that's going to trigger cardiovascular issues. And so you could at least play with that and see what your results are.
Okay.
There was a man that called me on the phone recently saying, what do I do about a high blood pressure? And I said, well, why don't you try hibiscus tea? And this man definitely had a major disability. It would be if I couldn't see, if I were blind, it would be a major disability. But he called me back. He said, hey, that hibiscus tea is working great.
Oh, and so, wonderful.
And so hibiscus tea, to me, it tastes really good. You'll have to
it
give
sounds
me.
Sounds good.
Well, you've seen a hibiscus flower, haven't you?
Yes, they're beautiful.
Oh my word! They're like this purple fuchsia explosion of color. If I was a hummingbird, I would fly from California to Hawaii just to get a look at them.
Yes, me too.
I wonder if I could make it all the way on a tank of gas. But anyway, but if you would try hibiscus tea, and if I had to choose two or three other things, actually, I'm just going to give you all of them. There is an herb called hawthorn.
Yes.
If you start taking hawthorn, you will not need as much blood pressure medication. So just be prepared to call the nurse or the doctor and say, I don't need as much. What do I do? And they can tell you how to reduce it.
Oh.
Put everything on them. Let them take care of it. They're the medical experts that prescribed it. Surely, yeah. I mean, because if your blood pressure is 102 over 54, I mean, come on. You are not going to feel like getting in the car and going to church tomorrow. It's not going to happen.
It's just it's getting very hard because it was just doing it every now and then, and then it just unexpectedly does it every time.
You won't even have the strength to
get up to go to the sink, and I can feel it.
Go to the sink? You won't even have enough strength to press the TV button to listen to Joel Osteen tomorrow morning.
No, probably won't be doing that no way. But
well, that's because you won't have the strength. No, but if you will, consider Hawthorne. And there's another substance I like, but it's cheap. It's made from rice bran extract. I have experimented with this stuff more than you can shake a stick at, and the stuff works. It's called IP6. That's short for inositol hexaphosphate. But it's like a capital I, capital P, and then the number 6. But it is definitely a B vitamin-like compound. And they get this by, scraping or milling the bran off of rice. And it's just high concentration, so it's like a rice supplement. I didn't say go eat 10 bowlfuls of rice a day, but if you start taking IP6, it will start cleaning your arteries and your blood.
Okay, on that Hawthorne, how many of those kind of pills
you're kind of at the mercy of the manufacturer's suggestion, and so all I'm going to do is just tell you, start off by taking what the manufacturer recommends, but if you do not get the results you want, just consider increasing the dose incrementally. But I'm telling you, it works fast.
Oh, good. Should I stop taking? See, they have one pill.
You need to call. Most likely, what's going to happen is the very first blood pressure drug that you were ever prescribed is going to be the very last one that you get off of. Are they giving you like Klonopin?
No, Metoprolol,
mm-hmm.
and Amlodipine.
Amlodipine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me see, what is that other one? There's another one that's. One of them I have to take 2 times a day, and the other two I take.
Well, they may be like a thiazide diuretic in there somewhere.
I don't think I. They. I think I. Oh goodness, I'm trying to find it.
They're over on top of your stove.
Yeah, it's just almost this little bitty place I'm living in. But
listen, I really admire you for doing this. This is just fabulous.
You are
a very strong woman.
I appreciate that. That's very kind. Don't feel too strong.
Do you live out in the country?
I do, yes.
So do you have, like, birds singing around you all day long?
Well, I do, and the little birds, I'm always feed them, and the squirrels are about to take me over, I think. They all had little ones.
Well, you know what? I was going to say, I could put a note on my passenger pigeon and write everything down and just have it fly out to your house later today.
That would be nice. What's your guess? Let's see. Amlodipine, besalate, metoprolol tartrate, and losartan. That's the other one. Is losartan?
Oh, yeah. And so all you gotta do is just call the doctor and say, you know what, my blood pressure's too low. What should I do here? And they will reduce your dose for you.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll be better off.
Oh yes, it's fine. I just I don't know. Do you find that it's sometimes difficult to get doctors to, I know they're very busy, but find one that'll sort of pay attention very much when you have a problem?
You know what I think your best bet's going to be?
What's that?
Just skip the doctor and go straight to a nurse practitioner.
Oh, okay.
I'm serious, and I don't mean that. This is not a slight to anybody. Mm-hmm. But nurse practitioners are just very, I find they can be very engaging, and they tend to have this natural humility about them. And I just love nurse practitioners. And they make it so easy on you. They'll be very kind and comforting. They're not going to give you a hard time, and they'll listen to you.
And it'll
be cheaper also.
Oh, good.
Unless you're a multi-zillionaire. And,
no, don't think so.
Well, I don't understand why you're buying all this corn for the squirrels to try to grow the population.
Oh, I know. It's just unbelievable. And they're beginning to eat my flowers on the porch, those little squirrels.
Well, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Have you named one of the squirrels Skippy?
Yeah, that's a good name for one. I do have one that comes right up to me. I do. He gets mad, and he kicked at the front. I'm telling you, this is God's truth. I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden, I thought somebody, a person, kicked my door. And it was, and then I'd go out there, and it was the squirrel. He's very insistent. I think I'm
going to name him Beelzebub.
That sounds better. He got right up at me yesterday, had a little bit of nervousy to me because I don't want him to get right up in my face.
And oh, my goodness.
He was very angry because I didn't get, I was sick, and didn't get my food out.
And did you put your hand up and say, talk to the hand, Mr. Chompers?
I'm sort of afraid he's going to jump on my, bite my hand. But he I've never seen a squirrel like him before. He's getting a little bit more.
Well, who does he brave. Think he is? Do you think this is his RV he lives in?
I think so. Goodness. I do. He's just like, he's got the, he's just don't understand. I used to feed him every morning and everything real early, and then it's just not easy.
And this is how they repay you? Goodness.
I know. My little birds can't even get out there and the
now that ain't right. That is not right.
I know.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If I went to the hardware store and purchased a double barrel shotgun and brought it to the house, would you? Never mind.
Oh no!
I wish no. I hadn't brought that up.
No, I could never do that. No. Even if he is a little bit of weird little squirrel, I sort of like to feed him. So no, I wouldn't want to get him hurt.
You know what I've heard of people doing? They'll take Tannerite and set it by a bunch of corn and then blow. Never mind.
Oh my!
Hey, maybe we could drill holes in acres and fill them with a baking soda and vinegar and see what happens when they bite into them.
Now that might work. Keep them away. Cure might. They count on me there. I put that water. You ought to see them out there. They get in my little bird baths and get them drinks. They count on that water. So that's how I have to get out there.
Well, let me teach you. There's one natural technique that you can try. Listen to this very carefully. That's my red-tailed hawk call. And if you do that, the red-tailed hawk would come and it'll sit on the perch.
Oh, yes.
But then you'll have another problem. You'll have a big hawk every time you walk out the front door.
Well, I do love the hawks. I do. I know they have to have, they got to get food. They have a hard time. So I just don't take a look if one of them don't show back up on my squirrel papa.
I'd look the other way.
Yeah, I do, because them hawks got to eat too, you know, and they have a hard time.
Just have to say, sorry guys, you win some, you lose some.
I know. I'll feed the squirrels while they're here, and then they're gone, and they're just gone.
Oh boy. Yeah, it's going to be a rough life once you're gone, isn't it?
I know. Well, I know. I'm keeping you.
That's
I'm
all
so
right.
Very
I had
sorry.
A, I had, no, don't be sorry at all. I had a great time visiting with you. You made my day.
Oh, well, I appreciate you so much.
And there's chances are I'll be laughing about this later today anyway.
I hope so. I'd love to think I gave somebody a little laugh. That
oh, you did. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Have a good
bye-bye.
Day. Bye-bye. Oh, I can't believe she brought up the idea of Tannerite to take care of the squirrels. That is so wrong. Oh, wait, was that me? Never mind. If you'd like to join me on the radio, the number is 903-586-5257. All right, Nature Hour with Dr. Morgan. You're on next.
All right. I've been diagnosed with osteopenia, which I had years ago, and then I had it.
You're going to have to turn your radio off in the background, then I can hear you.
Okay, so across the room.
That's all right.
Okay, I have been diagnosed with osteopenia.
Yes, ma'am.
I had it years ago, and I didn't have it, and now I have it again. But anyway, the doctor said to take Fosamax, and I don't want to take Fosamax.
I don't either.
Well, what do I do?
Well, let me give you just three very simple ideas. If you would find a very good source of magnesium and start taking it, I'm going to suggest to you that magnesium plays absolutely one of the most fabulous roles in strengthening your bones above and beyond probably all minerals out there.
Okay, so, I take it every day.
Good, good. You're doing great. The other vitamin that probably has the greatest influence over bone health is K2, vitamin K2. Yeah.
I can't take it because I take a blood thinner.
Well, K1 is the one that regulates blood, not K2.
Oh, well, I didn't know there was a difference.
Mm-hmm. Technically, there's probably about 8 different forms of vitamin K, and I hate to say it, I don't understand all of them, but vitamin K2 is what tells your body to deposit minerals in your bones.
Oh.
And so when you have enough of it, what'll happen is all the minerals, instead of building up in other locations, will go to your bones. It tells your body to fortify your bones. So we don't want K1. I mean, do you avoid spinach and kale and greens?
Yes, and I love them.
Oh, that means
I do avoid them. Yes.
That means if I come to your house today, all the turnip greens are for me, right?
That's right.
Okay. But no, vitamin K2, you just may have to get vitamin K2 all by itself. When you're looking for a dose, it's going to be over 1,000 micrograms. And if you get K2 all by itself, you're going to be in a much better place. You really will be.
Okay. All right.
And there's a form of calcium. The only one that I can recommend is called microcrystalline hydroxyapatite. I know. Great.
All right. Well, okay, because I take calcium twice a day, and I drink milk. And
well, the calcium that you're taking, I probably would not do that personally, and I realize that's not going to play well with everybody listening, but it's just not a form the body can use. If you get raw bone calcium, yeah, you could do that. Or if you were to eat things like salmon and sardines and broccoli, those are all huge sources of calcium.
Okay, I do that, too. But not the broccoli, but the...
I knew that you were nearly perfect the moment you called. I bet you people tell you that all the time, don't they?
Especially my husband, no.
Well, he's listening right now, isn't he?
No, he's actually out working on the hill already, so.
Well, what's he doing exactly?
He's cleaning. He has a pond at the top of the hill, and he has run water down. He waters all the yard and everything from the little pond at the top of the hill.
Oh, how cool is that?
And it's amazing to me.
Oh, I need to know your exact GPS coordinates. Are there fish in this pond?
No.
Oh. No.
But there's really a spring, and then he's put a little above ground swimming pool up there and made a pond that is filled by a spring.
Well, I need to know the exact location because I'm going to fly over today in my drone to see what it looks like. Oh, that's just too cool. I wish I could see that. That sounds so intriguing and fascinating all at the same time.
Well, we live in Mount Selman, right kind of behind the water district down the hill.
I drive by your house every day.
Oh, do you? Well, we live right under the high wires, which make a perfect driving range for my husband.
So what's the hole he's aiming for, the pond?
Well, the pond is good because he actually bought one of those above ground swimming pools for me because I said, you know, if you're going to do one up there, you could do one for me. So he fills that also with the water from the pond.
Oh, man, this is great.
Yeah, he's great. He really
You know what I find intriguing is every time I drive through Mount Selman when there's any weather, that's where all the thick cloud embankment goes to. It just doesn't matter. Whatever storm comes through, that's where the thick clouds, they always drive right through Mount Selman, don't they?
Yeah, we get a little rain a lot more than some other people. So.
That's true. I mean, this has got to be God's great design to make it go that way, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Well, it's a nice place. We've been here about 2.5 years, and we love it.
Well, is your place for sale currently?
Not currently, but when we run out of money, we're going to sell it and downsize.
Is that going to be anytime soon? I'm looking for a place to live.
I hope not.
Well, if you will, I want you to do some research with vitamin K2.
Okay.
And I want you to develop some confidence. It's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine for you. And that's going to have such a powerful, profound influence over your bone health. I think you'll be extremely pleased and very, very happy.
Okay, well, that makes me think. My husband has some problems, and he's been told to take some kind of really strong calcium that's like $50 a little bottle, and to make him absorb the calcium.
Oh, no. I just
And I don't
just refuse to believe that's correct, because what you have is anytime the body experiences any inflammation and you start taking supplemental calcium, it just makes it worse every single time. That's why when women take, did I say women? I meant to say women. When women take calcium, they tend to have higher risk of clots and strokes and heart attacks, because it's inflammation that drives everything.
Yeah.
And calcium is like throwing gas on a fire. You just don't want to do it. Now, the calcium that you get from eating salmon, or my favorite snack, sardines, is actually very good for you.
Yeah, well, I do like both of those.
You know, when your husband makes you breakfast and brings it to you in bed, it's called Alaskan snow crab legs with butter. That's perfectly fine for you. Not a problem. That's a good calcium. He does that, doesn't he?
No, but I will tell you what we eat, because he makes it sometime and I make it sometime. We eat oatmeal every morning with raisins, and I put cinnamon in mine, and then I always have a cut up banana, and right now we have fresh peaches also. We have that every morning.
Are these peaches off the trees on your property?
Yes. No, they're across the road. My peaches are later.
So you just sneak at night across the road and help yourself to your neighbor's peaches, right?
They were given to me.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, that sounds super delicious, doesn't it?
It is, and it's good. Whenever it comes in now, I'm ready to eat. I've got the stuff in the microwave.
Well, look into the K2 and tell me if that makes you very happy.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Have a good day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
I would imagine the lady that just called from Mount Selman has a very hard time picking up the radio station. That's where the antenna is. if you haven't driven down Highway 69 at Mount Selman, you just look off to the west as you're heading north, and that tower is so high. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Let me get the radio off.
I don't even hear any reverberation. You're fine.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Now, yes. I have you playing all over the house. So now,
is that so your trusty cat and dog can hear me?
Yeah. There's somebody on the other end of the house listening to you.
Oh, is this a human being or a different type of animal?
No, he's a part of the human race.
Part. Okay. Well, how can I help?
Okay. Fluoride treatments that they always offer them at your dentist when you go in for your cleaning.
Yeah.
Do you like to get those?
No.
I hear people say no.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like fluoride, Sam, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of made that up. No, I don't. I don't want fluoride treatments. And I think if you just kind of, let's just say you come to the table with a clean spoon, you don't have any predetermined ideas about fluoride, and you just type in, "Is fluoride harmful?" Well, you're going to get two differing opinions. Those that say it's safe, but there's going to be those that say it may do more to cause osteoporosis and mental illness. It may be more trouble than what it's worth. So. There are books written on this topic, and I think that would be worth a look.
Okay.
I would rather take probiotics instead of fluoride, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I just recently was fortunate to go see a doctor named Peter Langston.
That name sounds vaguely familiar. Is he like a genius?
I'd say he's right up there in that group.
I would probably agree with you on that one.
He did a vast amount of research on the CoQ10.
Yeah, how about
and
that?
He knows. I mean, he's got people whose heart problems have been cured because of.
Are you trying to be so bold as to suggest that a nutrient has value to the heart? Is that what you're trying to say today?
Yes, this CoQ10.
How dare Dr. Langston not promote statin drugs? Who does he think he is?
He doesn't. That's
is he like some type of maverick cardiologist that bucks the system? How dare
he? I guess he'd have to. Well, I bet those drug companies don't go to his office every year and say, "We'd give you $60,000 right now."
I bet you they don't.
No.
I mean, this is I know that. You have a world famous, world class cardiologist promoting nutrients to restore the function of the heart instead of drugs that can, you know, destroy it.
Right. Yeah. Another thing he did when I went to see him, I was on 80 milligrams of lisinopril every day. That's the top of the, that's as far as you go on lisinopril, 80 milligrams a day. And he said, we're going to start you on a ubiquinol, the CoQ10, and we're going to get you off that lisinopril. Now, 2 months later, I'm off lisinopril. And my blood pressure looks beautiful. And it's like, well, how's this miracle happening? You have any idea?
Well, I would say it's very precise physiology. When you give the body what it lacks, all of a sudden it can start to work properly and behave better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a radical story. Are you sure that's true and correct?
there's one other thing that he has you purchase when you leave. And it's called Restore.
Yeah, he's a big fan of that. Yeah.
And so I'm taking that as he prescribed it, and the CoQ10.
All right.
And it's just amazing that everything is following in track the way he said it was going to. And anyway, he's in Tyler.
I just got a text from a lady. She says, "Dr. Langston is my heart doctor. His dad played a part in founding Coenzyme Q10. He is not an invasive doctor, though." I'm sure that people know that I'm slightly joking about Dr. Langston. He's a fabulous human being. I'm just trying to play the sarcastic route because, you know, here you have a leading cardiologist, and he's kind of bucking against a pharmaceutical. You know, every disease requires another prescription drug that's poisonous. But he's saying, no, let's give the body what it needs to function properly, which one of them would be ubiquinol. So don't you think that's just great? I love it.
Yeah, and my wife was, of course, a doctor for some reason has never tried to put me on statins, which is amazing. I'm 74 years old. Surely somebody would have tried to do that.
Well, it's not too late. I mean, they may try on your next appointment.
Yeah, but what was so crazy, this particular ubiquinol that I bought didn't have any of the healthy fat in the capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, take fat with each one of these doses of the ubiquinol CoQ10. And they said, and drink whole milk. And that was just like, are you kidding? I've always drank either 0.5% or 0 or 1. And here's the doctor saying, go ahead and drink whole milk. Now, what's the deal with that? Do you agree with that?
Oh, well, of course I do. Because any time that you, this is probably too deep of a topic to get into. When you start removing fat from milk, you completely alter it and you adulterate it from what its natural God-given state to something that's probably quite a bit more shockingly poisonous to the human being. So, yeah, if you're going to drink milk, you need to pass on that skim junk. just do the real thing.
Hey, well, I've been enjoying an egg every now and then. You know, a whole egg that was supposed to.
Yeah, you know what the latest thing is? They're saying now that they have changed and done a 180, that they no longer view cholesterol as bad. They say cholesterol might actually be a nutrient that the body requires, so we're going to, you know. But have the physician stopped prescribing statin drugs? No, not by a long shot. Old dogma dies hard.
Well, what dies hard.
Well, here's unfortunately, we're completely out of time. I got to let you go and just call next
week. The money is it. That's where
well,
it is. Money,
thank you
money,
for your money. Phone call very much. I hope you have a great day, man.
You too. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Goodbye.